Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Seems I've got to have a change of scene.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with us. Beverly Williams is our guest, as I promised. She's our good friend and an original member of the Brain Trust, an original member of the show. The only person who's more original than Beverly is me and maybe one other or two other people, and she's just a great friend of ours. She's the co-author, along with Don Cooper, of the best book in the world on home-based business called The 30-Second Commute. And she's our good friend. Oh, and as I may have mentioned earlier, she's the 2002 Home Business Advocate of the Year, chosen by the SBA. And she's our good friend, as I said. Beverly Williams, welcome back.
Well, thank you. What an introduction this morning.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. I'm always glad to be here with you.
I can see that.
Brightens my day.
I can see how that would happen.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I heard something the other day that I wanted to ask your opinion of. I heard that in an average day, women say 26,000 words and men say 12,000 words. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that the reason women say more words than men do is because it takes more explanation to get it through a man's brain.
Well, now wait a minute. You didn't have to be defensive. You didn't have to zing anybody. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about that.
I told you what I thought.
And those are your thoughts, huh?
Those are my thoughts. You asked for that. I'm sorry.
You're right. I set you up for that, and I'll have to be more careful next time.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Beverly, we're working off of some myths that you have identified that people have about home-based businesses, and I think we're working on the next myth is about the time that home-based business owners have on their hands.
I love the people who come to my classes or my workshops, and I ask them, you know, why do you want to start a home-based business? And I get lots and lots of different things, particularly I want to be my own boss. But a lot of what I get is I want to be in control of my time, which is very good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens for so many people is they go from one extreme to the other. Myth number five is that people think they'll have a lot of time to do lots of other things. And in reality, they may have some time to do some other things. We hope that they will be able to balance their time well enough between work and personal life that they can do some things that they haven't been able to do working for corporate America. Flexibility. But to get to that point takes a lot of work. And it's very, very easy to become a workaholic when you own a home-based business because the office is only a few feet away. And work is always there.
Don't you think that, Beverly, if somebody decides to start a home-based business and their prime motivator is because they want to be more in control of their time, don't you think that that's a failure waiting to happen?
If that's their prime motivator? If that is their prime motivator, they are absolutely going to fail or learn a very hard lesson very quickly. One of the two. It is... What happens when you're first getting started, for most people, and not for everybody, but for most people, is they leave their corporate job and they set up their home office and they're all excited. Hopefully they've done some marketing. They may even have a client or two. But they don't have enough quite yet to keep them busy full time. And so they start getting involved in other things, which is also not necessarily bad, depending on what it is they get involved in. I encourage people to get involved in small business groups in their area,
the chamber
of commerce,
and things like that.
And to go to those meetings and network and build relationships and volunteer, you know, get involved with a committee or, you know, some project that the
But be careful doing. that activity, as important as it is, you got to use it judiciously because if you don't, you'll wind up thinking that you're really being productive in all these volunteer things that you're doing. And the truth is that, you know, somebody's got to sell something today.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what happens, is they get so involved in doing all these other things, and they're doing it in the name of their business, therefore it must be good.
Well, yeah, see, they think, well, hey, I'm just kind of tooling off down to this meeting where these people will be talking with these folks, and it'll be really cool. I've seen other people do that when I was an employee, and it's for my business, so it must be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, to a certain extent it is. But here's that balancing act again, you know, of balancing that work. If it's not really producing the income for you yet, and maybe never, depending on how you work that, you really are not doing your business. And that's the whole point, is to earn money from your business. You really don't have a business if you're not earning money.
Should you budget that kind of time? I mean, people might say, well, you ought to budget all your time. Well, when you're a small business owner, you budget all your time for work, and especially in the beginning. And you almost have to, should you say maybe something like, okay, I'm going to budget 90 minutes a week for that kind of thing, for networking types of things, other than say at lunch.
Right, right. Yes,
which you're going to eat lunch somewhere, so you might as well be eating with a contact or something.
Yes. A percentage or a number of hours or however you best could work managing your time is a wonderful way of doing that.
Because it can get away from you, and before long, the week is Friday afternoon, and you've accomplished nothing all week.
Right, exactly. I tell people not to join any more than 3 groups maximum in their first couple of years of business. And make sure that those are targeted to their market, their potential market, and work those 3 groups. But that doesn't mean that you go to every single thing that they have. You choose which ones fit into your schedule, into your budget, both time and money-wise, and where your potential market is most likely to be. At a special interest group meeting may not necessarily be where your market is, but it might be best use of your time if you're going to be networking with your peers and being able to develop some relationships, but you don't want to spend all of your selected time doing just that.
Well, and because those things have an incubation period.
Yes, they do.
They could take a month or a year or 5 years.
Exactly.
And as we said earlier, you need to, the cash register needs to ring today.
Right. Those relationships are important, and they do take time to develop, as you said. But bottom line is your main focus has to be in getting those clients in the door.
Hold on to that thought, Beverly. We got more to come, ladies and gentlemen, after these messages. Beverly Williams is our guest. She's the author of The 30-Second Commute. And we're going to talk some more in a minute about this myth about how much time you're going to have on your hands when you're a home-based business owner. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. We're grooving with our good friend Beverly Williams. And she and Don Cooper are the authors of The 30-Second Commute. It's available wherever books are sold. And it is a McGraw-Hill book that I think you'll like very much. Check it out when you get a chance. I've seen it in newsstands. Beverly, congratulations on that.
Thank you. And
wherever, you know, online, on the pavement, wherever you find books, you can find this. And if they don't have it, it's because they've sold out and they'll have to order you another one. So let them do that. Beverly, give us your website, please.
Well, it's www.beverlywilliams.com. And you can order the book through there. You can see the table of contents and some other reviews and so forth. The reviews have been very nice so far. We appreciate that. Hope these people do find it helpful. That's why we wrote it.
All right. Check it out when you can. And that's Beverly Williams, either with an EY or just a Y, either way you want to spell it.
Right.
Bev, we're talking about this myth here that when you have a home-based business, you'll have a lot of time. Do you think that some women say to themselves, if I could just be home-based, I can get my housework done? Or some men might say, if I could just have a home-based business while I'm there, I could make sure that my yard stays nice and trim and everything. You think that enters into people's minds sometimes?
I don't think it does, actually, in the beginning, when they're first still working for corporate America and thinking about working at home. I don't think it's that detailed of a thought in their mind.
Okay.
I do think that they think, wow, I'm going to be able to do more things because I won't have to spend hours commuting. If I need to run to the grocery store, I don't have to do it at 5:30 when everybody else is there. But I'm not sure that they get so detailed in their thought process. I think it's just the freedom that they feel in the beginning, mm-hmm. in the thoughts of being able to be home-based.
It's a euphoric feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know the definition of euphoria, don't you?
No.
Euphoria is a false sense of well-being.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people think euphoria is a feeling of well-being. It's a false sense of well-being. And that can happen when you're home-based, can it?
It can, very definitely. I mean, there really is a thrill when you first leave corporate America and don't have to get in your car and commute. You take that 30-second commute to your home office, and there definitely is real euphoria there. Just a wonderful feeling of freedom. But there also is a sense of responsibility that comes with that of, okay, you only have the 30-second commute, but what are you going to do with that time?
Mm-hmm.
And how you decide to spend that time will make or break your business, particularly in the beginning. I do know some people, and both men and women, who have said, I wanted to be able to spend more time with my family, and therefore I'm going to have a home-based business.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to some people who said, well, now I can volunteer at my child's school.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is an advantage to being a home-based business owner. However, you must make sure that you don't overcompensate.
Well, you have to rethink your day, don't you? Because after I stopped being home based, when my kids were teenagers and I even when I had a business downtown, I was able to go to a lot more things that they had in school than I did when I didn't have my own business. But what that meant was I had to work that hour and a half another time.
Right, exactly.
I had to think of my schedule not 8 to 5, but mm-hmm. whatever it took to get the work done.
Right. What clumps of time can I take out of this 24 hours, to devote to my business? And which ones are going to be devoted to my family or my personal life? And as you said, they're not always, in fact, rarely are they 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or whatever you're used to working in corporate America. And of course, corporate American hours or business hours are no longer 9 to 5. They haven't been for quite some time.
It's changing. It's becoming more like home-based businesses, isn't it?
Well, gee, maybe they took the cue.
You think that they finally got smart, Bev?
Well, somebody better. It's a long time in coming. But there's still too many businesses that either can't break out of that mold of the 9 to 5, you have to do this, or they can't because of the type of business that they are.
Right.
There are some restrictions, certainly. And there'll be those same type of restrictions for a home-based business. Depending on your clientele, the type of business that you run, you'll have more freedom in some businesses than in others. Some businesses are going to be more on the evenings or weekends. If you're a party planner, if you're a conference planner, if mm-hmm. you're an organizer, there's going to be certain times you're going to have to be available to your clients depending on their businesses. So, you have to be flexible, but that's the good news and the bad news.
Mm-hmm. It's the good news if you can make it work for you. It's the bad news if you're not disciplined.
Right. And you can learn that. You can learn good time management skill. You can learn to be more disciplined. It may be a struggle for some people. But if you want it bad enough, and believe me, the rewards are worth it, if you want it bad enough, you can make it work. There's lots of material available. I think Stephen Covey's First Things First book is probably one of the best tools that I've ever found for figuring out mm-hmm. how to manage my time and priorities better. So there's lots of tools available to help you if it doesn't come
One out. Of our Brain Trust members, Gene Greisman, has got a good book on time management, too. Mm-hmm. Beverly, give us your website one more time.
www.beverlywilliams.com.
All right, and that's where they can find out more about the 30-second commute, which is also available wherever books are sold. Beverly, you're the best. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
See you next time.
I'll be here.
Bye-bye. Bye. Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be, too, in just a couple of minutes. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.